Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
I've got the wonderful Sue Barker here with me at the Isle of Wight Literary Festival. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Billy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And it's so lovely to see you as well. It's a delight to be able to have a quick chat with you.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. It's great.
Well, it's a beautiful surrounding, isn't it? Yeah. Norfolk House. Yeah. It's just such a beautiful building. Yeah. And I've only been here a couple of times, shamefully myself.
Yeah.
But the island is beautiful, is it not?
It is stunning. And this, as you say, the house, the architecture is amazing. The church is beautiful. I mean, oh. And just seeing who they've attracted here this year, I mean, it's just a who's who. It's so many different subjects. It's wonderful. So congratulations to all those organised it. It offers something for everyone.
Well, it does, and thank you for recognising that, because as a small island, we do try our best, obviously, the Isle of Wight Festival, the Isle of Wight Literary Festival now in its 14th year, so it's a real pleasure to be able to speak to you and talking to you, Sue, because, of course, you've got such a huge history behind you, of course, a seasoned tennis player as well. But I want to talk to you about your book, because that's what you're here for, Sue. You're here to talk about your book. It's a literary festival, so I wouldn't be doing my job properly if we didn't do that. So can I just start by asking you, in the book, you thread the players, place and tradition sort of together into one. What would you say is one tiny sort of courtside or behind the scenes ritual that's kind of stuck over the years?
What is it? I'm not a superstitious sort of person, so I've sort of not done that. I suppose it's probably shaking before walking out on centre court to interview the champions and the runners-up, because it's absolutely terrifying. I think the one thing I always used to do was on the Sunday before Wimbledon is to go in on my own and stand up on the roof and just sort of drink it all in, because I knew for the next 2 weeks it was going to be mayhem for me, you know, absolute mayhem. So just to have a quiet moment on the Sunday before the tournament up on the roof of the broadcast centre and see centre court, see court number one, and just imagine what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks. And that was my sort of the only thing I did every sort of year. And I miss it now because I'm banned. They won't let me in on the Sunday before Wimbledon, so... I can't do it anymore.
Do you mind me asking why? Is it superstition?
I'm not working on it anymore.
Oh, no, because you're not working on it.
The only people who were allowed in on the Sunday before are those that are working on the tournament. And of course, I retired in 2022, so it's like they won't let me in now. I've got a pass.
So it's not due to any kind of ritual or superstition.
No,
it's just,
no,
you're not coming in. Basically, it doesn't matter who you are. They just won't
matter
you
who
in.
You are. No,
and of course, they go back, don't they, to tradition? Of course, traditionally, we've seen in the past. I'm sure you may have seen this. I'll be interested to know actually if you mention it specifically in the book about the fact that you can't wear certain colours of clothing on certain days. There's all sorts of.
Yeah, it changes all every year. It's changing and different committees at Wimbledon change. I mean, I look back at the era when I was playing, and if you look at Borg and McEnroe, they were plastered in colour back in the 70s. So it's actually got more strict than it's got less strict. And we used to be able to wear coloured tracksuit tops and everything. It's certainly unheard of now. So it's going whiter and whiter and whiter. But I do love the fact that Wimbledon is different from any other tournament. There's no advertising boards around the court. There's no people plastered with all sorts of different colours and coloured shoes and everything. Wimbledon is green court, white clothing. It's epic. You know, it just oozes class.
Well, you almost read my mind, really, preempted what I was going to say. And I know you've got a rush, so I suppose we'll start wrapping things up now. But just off the back of what you said, it's quintessentially British is what
absolutely
went through my head when you were saying that.
And you know, I've interviewed, obviously, over the years, so many players, and even the foreign players, people like Federer, he grew up wanting to win Wimbledon. Even Rafa, although he loved the clay, Wimbledon was the most prestigious tournament in his mind. John McEnroe, always Wimbledon. You know, Pete Sampras, always Wimbledon, and Steffi Graf. You know, all the foreign players, it doesn't matter what surface they like, Wimbledon was the most prestigious, the one they wanted to win. And yes, I think it's because it stands out above the other tournaments. So long may that last.
And I agree with you. I think it does, long may it last. And it does stand out, as you've got, you know, globally, there's so many different sporting competitions and championships.
Yeah.
But the British, I think we just do it so well, don't we?
And absolutely.
In the back of my head, you talking about all of those fantastic superstars on the court, I always think of, really first and forefront of my mind, going back quite a few years now, is that interview that you did with Andy Murray when he first won. And I think that made my spine tingle a little bit with emotion.
Because yeah, he had two incredibly emotional speeches when he lost in 2012 and he burst into tears and apologised to the British nation for letting them down. I mean, no, he didn't. You know, he played his heart out. And to come back a year later and to win it was incredibly special. And then I did the farewell interview with him just last year, and that was, you know, that was possibly one of the most difficult interviews I've done, because we were both incredibly emotional, because he's had an amazing career, but you know, and we miss him, you know, because yes, he gave us, you know, so many incredible matches over the years, all around the world, but particularly Wimbledon, winning it twice, you know, first British man for 77 years, you know, yeah. I always remember that. So yeah, special guy.
Well, so thank you so much, Sue. No, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for taking some time to talk to me.
With
sort of such a last-minute arrangement as well.
I know, sorry. Drag you in here. Quick, I've got 5 minutes if you want to talk. Sorry.
No, not at all. It's been a real delight to chat to you. And I suppose I'd like to just end on one last thing, yeah, really. And I don't want to put you on the spot too much.
But you are.
I'm probably going to. But bringing it back to the island, what's one piece of advice as a seasoned broadcaster, but also a tennis player yourself, someone who is, I would say, a household name and very well known, and I don't want to sort of make you cringe when I say that, but what would you say to an up-and-coming and a budding student, say, in Ryde or Shankly, and who's playing tennis? What would your advice be to them?
Do you know, when I first started, it was about enjoying it. I mean, I didn't have any career ambitions, nothing. I just loved it. And the more you love it, the more you want to play. And then the more you play, the better you get. It's just always have your dreams, follow your dreams, try and make them happen. But, you know, it's obviously difficult. And nowadays, it's even more money than when I was playing. It costs a lot of money to play. But I would always say, look, as long as you enjoy tennis, you can enjoy tennis right the way through your life. It's something, I mean, I still play now. It's something you can, health-wise, it's wonderful. But just enjoy it because it's a fabulous sport.
And you know what Steve Jobs said? If you do a job that you love, you never work a day in your life.
There you go. Absolutely. So I haven't.
Sue Barker, thanks so much. You are, of course, here to talk about Wimbledon, the players, the place, the magic, personal history. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you.